Well, as most of you know, this month is Pastor Appreciation Month. And before I started, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate Brother Decker. I've only been here 3 years, so I still feel like the new kid on the block, but I appreciate Brother Decker, what he stands for, the message he preaches. I stand for holiness, and it seems like it's getting more rare every day, but thankful that we still have the truth here and there's a place that we can come to. I want to do what my pastor asked me to do. I'd much rather be cleaning off tables in the dining hall than be up here, but I want to do what he asked us to do and do whatever the Lord would want us to do. Hopefully I won't keep you too long tonight. Last time I spoke in young people's, I told the youth I'm not long-winded, so this message should be short and sweet, like me. The title of our thoughts tonight is Enduring to Turn the Tassel. Enduring to Turn the Tassel. Tonight we're going to attempt to look at some of the parallels of this Christian walk and academic graduation. When we think of the turning the tassel academically, we think of that exciting commencement day with friends and family, the celebration of finally receiving that diploma that we worked so many years for. The thought of all the painful hard work and years of effort just seemed to fade away. And so it is spiritually to turn our tassel on our spiritual walk. It will take years of effort, study, pop quizzes, tests, and eventually finals. In order to graduate spiritually, we have to endure some things and go through some testing. The song says, not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, but yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. As the student must endure testing to turn his academic tassel and receive the prize of that diploma or degree, so must the Christian endure testing to enter the prize of heaven. If you turn with me to our text, Matthew 24:13, just one verse. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. In order to make it to heaven's gates, we have to endure some testing. So let's get started. The very first step in graduating is enrollment. If you're not enrolled, it's a little difficult to graduate. And so it is in God's school. In order to enroll, you have to be saved. Once you're saved, you're in God's school. And how do you enroll? How do you enroll or get saved? Jesus said in John 6:47, Verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Romans 10:9 says that if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Salvation isn't a park and ride. Once you get on, you don't have to do anything. It doesn't work that way. You have to work at it every single day. You aren't naturally born into it. You aren't grandfathered into it. You don't get enrollment for a birthday gift. Your parents don't enroll you like in regular school. You have to make a conscious decision that your way is forsaken and you will go God's way and do whatever he requires. Once you're enrolled, the next step is kindergarten. In kindergarten, you learn the basics. The spiritual basics are reading, praying, studying, the textbook, the Bible, forming godly habits, coming to church, and cleaning out anything that hinders progress. Books, DVDs, CDs, records, if you still got them, t-shirts, anything that would hinder progress, don't give it to Goodwill, because if you give it to Goodwill, somebody else will get it, and if it hinders you, it'll probably hinder somebody else. It's in spiritual kindergarten we learn to color inside the lines spiritually. Learning to talk right, live right, and dress right. After you get the basics down in kindergarten, then you move on to other grades. Now, some people never graduate from God's kindergarten. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You can come to church every Sunday for years and years show up to Sunday school and never get out of God's kindergarten. Some people let the little basics get them hung up. It's not the big things, it's the little things that cause people problems. It's not like the revelation, or it's usually something like the standard. Now that's not an absolute. We had a lady visit here Sunday that I knew, and when I told her who I was, she knew me. And she just couldn't believe that we didn't believe in the rapture and the tribulation, so that's not exactly 100% true. Some people do get hung up on the big, more of the doctrinal issues. But just like being saved, in God's school, there has to be advancement. Once you're saved, you have to advance. God's school is not managed by time, but by performance. Once you get something down, then you move on, not because you put in so many hours. It doesn't work as though if you're saved for 1 year, God will automatically move you out of his kindergarten. Now, one of the basics that we learn in kindergarten is just plain old showing up. There's nothing new. Everybody knows this. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How do you expect to learn when you don't show up for class? I remember years ago when Mom was teaching Sunday school, there was a girl who, you know how kids kind of just blurt out whatever comes to their mind. If I remember right, it was the last Sunday of a revival, and this girl was talking about how their family just decided to stay home Thursday night of revival. Instead of coming to church, they just stayed home and watched The Little Rascals. Now, if you don't see any difference between staying home and watching The Little Rascals or coming to revival, you probably have some other spiritual issues. Now, we all know that coming to church alone won't save you. Billy Sunday said, coming to church won't make you any more of a Christian than taking a wheelbarrow to the garage makes it an automobile. When we come to God's house, we come for encouragement, to learn, and to have fellowship. And we need each other. And just seeing each other is an encouragement. Now, as most of you know, we live an hour away currently from church. And when you live an hour away, you just don't run into church people when you go to the grocery store or out and about. But in the last year, I had two instances where I ran into church people through work, actually. And the first time was in December. When I started with the bank, the first 6 months, I was a float teller. So when somebody was sick, if there was a somebody had the day off, whatever, I'd go to that branch and fill in for them. And in December of last year, I spent most of that month, the good part of it, at our Walnut Creek branch, which, as some of you know, is right across the street from Der Dutchman. Some of you may have eaten there. And so one day I decided to go across the street to Der Dutchman for lunch. And so I went in, ordered the buffet, I was eating lunch. And I looked around, I was sitting there all by myself, and I said, you know, God, it would just be awesome if somebody from church came in here and sat down and ate. And so I prayed, asked God he'd send in somebody from church. And so I finished my meal, went up to the register, paid, and as I was walking out the door, if it wasn't Brother Jason and Sister Jessica Bell, they were standing in line and coming in, and I talked to them for probably a minute or less. But you know what? That was the highlight of my day. Just seeing them, just that little bit, was just such an encouragement. The second time was in, I believe, February or March of this year. I was in Charm, where I currently have a full-time position. And it was a Monday night. I remember that because the businesses are open late Monday night in Charm. And how our building is, we have kind of a balcony along the back where we come out the back door. We walk around and then walk down the steps to the lower level where we park. And if it was just a few seconds either way, I would have missed it. But I was walking around just before I turned to walk down the steps, and I just so happened to look across the street. And there's this lady with real long hair. That's kind of what caught my attention, really long hair. And she had two little girls, real long dresses on. And she was carrying a little boy with a green John Deere hat on. And I thought, huh, that looks like Sister Natalie Bremer. So I thought, well, I'll just go across the street into the store they're going into. And I thought, well, if it's not them, I'll just pretend like I'm looking around and then leave. So I went across the street, and sure enough, it was Sister Natalie Bramer and the three kids. And you know, I was hassling with my tassel. Had a hassle with my tassel. But you know, that just little bit, I talked to her for probably a minute or less, and just that little bit was an encouragement. I went home, I told Mom, I said, "You will never imagine who I saw today." But just like there's not only one course in God's, in regular school, there's more than one course in God's school. God has different courses for different people to fulfill in His church. God teaches different people different things for the different functions in His church. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gift of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues." You can't just expect to come to class without studying yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It's not just learning at church. There's homework with prayer, Bible reading, and personal devotions. The basics are the foundation, and that is why the basics are the foundation. That is so important, because that is what we build on. 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. For an inch off on the foundation, the further we go, will be even more off. Build your foundation on the rock," and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've passed kindergarten, we got the basics down, then we move on. There's different grades, different levels and experiences in God's school. But one thing that starts is quizzing, testing, and examination. Oh, when you first get saved, it's wonderful, but eventually it comes down to that nitty-gritty salvation, the day in and day out. There's a family from Springfield, Ohio, by the name of the Burton family. They made a record years ago, and on their record they have a song. I believe they're kind of known for it. Sister Cummings and her family sings a song. It says, "Every day we got to grow in grace. That's the only way to win this Christian race. Every day we got to stand the test. God will lead the way. We've got to do the rest. When old Satan tempts me so, that's just the time I'm going to trust him more. For if I trust him, I know the Lord will surely make a way. Keep trusting. I know the Lord will surely make a way. Keep waiting and watching, walking in this narrow way. Keep believing there's going to be a brighter day. Keep on trusting. Keep believing. Keep singing. And don't stop praying. If you trust the Lord, I know he'll make a way." Salvation takes effort and work every day. One thing that comes along in God's school is pop quizzes. One person that came to my mind is Peter. Matthew 26, 33 through 35, if you'll turn there with me. Matthew 26, 33 through 35. Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men," speaking to Jesus, "though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Skip down to verse 69 through 65. "Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out unto the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, And Peter remembered the word of Jesus and said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Just when we think we're big stuff and we can handle anything, something small pops up. Sometimes the small quizzes in life have a greater potential to knock us out because we are unprepared for them. Peter got a pop quiz and he failed. But we know that the Bible tells us later that that those quizzes didn't knock him out. He kept going and got back in the race. We can all learn from Peter's pop quiz. You can have something come along that is small, out of the blue, and it can bring you down. People backslide and give up on God because they do not endure temptation. It doesn't have to be something big. It could be a pop quiz of temptation that brings you down. But we have to constantly be prepared. James 1 and 12 said, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. A pop quiz could come up on your phone, an invitation from a coworker. But if you have had a pop quiz that has brought you down, repent, ask God to forgive you, and determine to never let that bring you down again. The pop quizzes are just small preparations for something bigger. But there is more than pop quizzes and quizzes in God's school. The one we hear the most about are tests. We've all had them physically and spiritually. Tests are more intense, and unlike pop quizzes that just show up out of the blue, sometimes we can see a test coming. I looked up the Webster's definition of a test, and one says, a critical examination, observation, or evaluation. Right. Now, in God's school, there are many different types of tests. Like in regular school, there's midterm, semester, and ultimately finals. We are all in different grades and levels in God's school. We don't all go at the same pace, and we are at different levels. And we all graduate at different times. So there's no way we know exactly what test we are in. But one thing we know for sure, we have to pass every test that God puts in front of us. Who likes tests? Well, nobody. But unlike regular school, all spiritual tests are an open book test. All the answers to any test we have are right in the Bible. What are some tests? Well, it depends on what God is trying to teach us. Some tests could be a job loss, child loss, spouse loss, cancer, physical ailments, divorce, family problems, or job problems. Nobody asks for tests. We only ask for them to go away. But I remember in the 2020 November revival, Brother Burton, he said a statement that really stood out to me. He said, the thing you ask God to take away may be the very thing that sends you that takes you to heaven. We say, why is there quizzing and testing in this Christian course? If we take a test with God's help and learn from it what God wants us to learn, we become better every time. The test will either make us or break us, make us bitter or better. Ultimately, it's our choice. Luke 13:24 says, Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Sometimes we think we're ready for a test. I'm ready for that job. I'm ready for that education. I'm ready for marriage. I'm ready for that house. I'm ready for that boyfriend. I'm ready for that girlfriend. Sometimes if we push and push and push, God will just give us what we want, and that could be the worst thing that ever happens to us. You may jump into something, and God may just let you spin your wheels for a while. It's God's time, not ours. One of the biggest things I believe that God teaches us in tests is waiting, and it takes endurance to wait. Now, I don't say this in a judgmental way. I'm a young person, and I'm as guilty as this as anybody else. But young people, what do we get the most fidgety on. So waiting for that special someone. Now, currently, you know that I don't have a girlfriend. And I don't mean this in the wrong way, but I'm not looking for a girlfriend. I'm looking for a wife. Anybody can get a girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever applies to you, anytime, anywhere, day or night. But there's a difference. I feel a lot of young people, I don't mean this in a wrong way, but I feel a lot of young people aren't really dating, they're shoe shopping. Try her on for a while, if she doesn't fit right, then, you know, try somebody else. But listen to godly counsel. Listen to Brother Decker. Listen to our youth leaders. Follow their advice. It's like Brother Decker says, somebody gets saved 1 week, don't date them the next. Give them time. And I would just add to that, you know, give people, you know, a good 10 or 15 years to really become established spiritually. Now, it probably doesn't take 10 or 15 years, but would you rather wait 10 or 15 years for something you want, or hurry up, jump the gun, and have something you don't want? Have a mess you want to live with the rest. You don't want to live with the rest of your life. The choice is ours. I thought of the song Brother and Sister Sterlecki sang at the wedding last Saturday, "The Center of Your Will." And you know, I thought the world can't sing that song at weddings or any other time. But I thought, you know what the world can sing? The center of my will is where I long to be, no matter if it hurts you, as long as it's good for me. I'll go my own little way, my plan I'll fight for, forever I long to be in the center of my will. Now, you never heard that before, but I feel that's the case in a lot of situations, and that's why there's so many problems. No one likes to wait. I don't like to wait. You don't like to wait. But we have to wait for God's will. I'm going to read a poem in Brother Reggie Stagmeyer's book. It's page 13. It's about waiting. I thought it was very good. And I'm just going to read this for you tonight. Desperately, helplessly, longingly, I cried. Quietly, patiently, lovingly, he replied. I pleaded and I wept for a clue to my fate, and the master so gently said, child, you must wait. Wait, you say wait, my indignant reply, Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened, or have you not heard? By faith I have asked, and I am claiming your word. My future and all to which I can relate hangs in the balance, and you tell me, wait. I'm needing a yes, a go-ahead sign, or even a no to which I can resign. And Lord, you have promised that if we believe, we need but ask, and we shall receive. And Lord, I've been asking, and this is my cry. I'm weary of asking, I need a reply. Then quietly, softly, I learned of my fate, as my master replied once again, you must wait. So I slumped in my chair, defeated and taut, and I grumbled to God, so I'm waiting for what? He seemed then to kneel, and his eyes met with mine. He tenderly said, I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens, darken the sun, raise the dead, and cause the mountains to run. All you see I could give, and pleased you would be. You would have what you want, but you wouldn't know me. You'd not know the depth of love for each saint. You'd not know the power that I give to the faint. You'd not learn to see through the clouds of despair. You'd not learn to trust by just knowing I'm there. You'd not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence was all you could see. You would never experience that fullness of love as the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You would know that I give, and I say for a start, you'd not know the depth and beat of my heart. The glow of my comfort late in the night, the faith that I give when you walk without sight, the depth that's beyond getting just what you ask from an infinite God who makes what you have last. And you never would know, should your pain quickly flee, what it means that my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, your dreams for that loved one or night could come true, but the loss if you lost what I'm doing for you. So be silent, my child, and in time you will see that the greatest of gifts is to get to know me. And though oft my answers seem terribly late, my most precious answer of all is still, wait. Now God has the most individualized program that there is. When God gives you a test, you can't just stop and start whenever you want. You stay in that test as long as God wants you to. When God puts a test in front of you, you can't just go C, C, A, B, B, C, A, B, B, C. True, false, false, true. Doesn't work that way. If you don't get the test, you have to take it again until you get it. I know you've heard, like, if you take a multiple choice, always choose C, because it has the greatest potential of being right. I don't know if you figured that out, but that's true. We need to choose C. C equals Christ. He's always right. But when we take God's test, one of the biggest things is enduring. Learning patience and waiting. Webster's definition of enduring is to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. But God teaches things in tests and quizzes that we can learn for future reference. I know our teachers in school told us, after a test or quiz, go back, see what you missed, and remember it and improve on that for next time. So when we are in our next test or quiz, and that's what we need to do with our spiritual tests and quizzes. We need to look back on what we missed or what we didn't do so well on, and we can learn and improve on them for next time. So when we are in our next quiz or test, we can look back and say, I remember God did this. God was here for that. God showed me this. I missed that last time. I didn't do that well on that last time, but I'm not missing it again. One of my favorite choir songs, Sister Sherry Sterlicky sings with choir, says, you've been in the storm. Oh, it seems like forever. Your night of confusion has been oh so long. Your ship has lost anchor. The storm's got you drifting, but the night's almost over, so ride out your storm. Verse 2 says, remember his promise. He said, I'll never forsake you. Though the waters are raging, they'll do you no harm. Don't give up the battle, for your answer is coming. Just hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right there with you. You may not feel him, but you're not alone. You're hurting now, but your morning is coming. Hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. We in the flesh want Jesus just to say, peace be still. Take that storm or test away. But as another song says, Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb. For if you would move each mountain, I might grow weaker every time. Now, I want to get to some of the benefits here of God's school. I don't want to make it sound like it's constant misery, because it's not. But God has plenty of us to enjoy along the way. God offers quite an array of extracurricular activities. Some of those include, but are not limited to, sending cards, singing, painting, landscaping, cooking, visitation, and so much more you can do all right here. God's acres. God also has quite a selection of field trips and travel options for your enjoyment. They include, but are not limited to, revivals, camp meetings, all-day meetings, and prison ministry. I know Brother Borders, he's having a revival December 7th through December 14th at the Church of God in Phoenix. So if you want to skip out on some Ohio winter weather, there's a field trip for you. So we have kindergarten, we learn the basics, we have quizzes that prepare us for a test. Then we have tests that prepare us for that last great exam. The last and final exam is death itself. Hebrews 9:27 says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You never know when your final exam is, so you always have to be ready. Like the song Sister Henry sings when you get your final summons. It doesn't matter if you're a rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. Whether you're the butcher, the baker, or the candlestick maker. Whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. When you get your final summons, you're taking your finals. Ready or not, like it or not, here it comes. It doesn't matter if you live to be 115, you still have to take your finals. That's why we must keep our salvation up to date, because we don't know when our finals are. When you take your last breath, your last test, your grade with God is instantly sealed. Whether you're passing or not, you're sealed. That's how you'll be standing before God. People do anything to get out of their finals. Lift weights, eat healthy, do anything to live longer. Others are failing the tests of life and they see no use of trying. They say they're just gonna fail anyway and they try to skip ahead to their finals with suicide. Suicide is a hopeless end to a hopeless life. Suicide won't solve your problems. It will only seal your problems. Seek help from God and His people. Now, I graduated from high school when I was 19 years old, which is older than most do, and the reason being is because I started later than most do. But guess what? I graduated. Maybe you're here and you feel like it's too late to start now. It's never too late. As long as you have a life and you know what you need to do, that's repent. As long as God gives you breath, you have a chance. But the longer you wait, the harder it is. So we've been in God's school. We've enrolled. We've passed our test. We passed our quizzes. We passed our test. We've lived and been faithful to God. We took our finals. Now, depending on what courses you take, we all finish at different times. But no matter what or when you take your finals, everyone will be there at the last stop in God's school. The very last stop in God's school, the day we worked all those years for, the cherry on top, that last great and final commencement day. That will be the greatest commencement day of them all. The song says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Now, I don't know how your commencement day started, but how my commencement day started from high school, it started with a trumpet. They had an orchestra there and they started with a trumpet. And God's commencement day will start with a trumpet as well. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet of God, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will not, on our commencement day, we won't wear a black robe, 100% polyester made in Mexico, but we will wear a robe of righteousness. On commencement day, your name will be called. You will stand before God, and you will give an answer how you lived and how you acted upon what you know. If you have been true to God, you can say like Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. If we have been true, God will look at us and say, as it says in Matthew 25:21, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We will turn our tassel, which represents all those tests, all those trials, All the times we felt like giving up, we felt like dropping out. All those temptations we thought we'd never get through, it will all be permanently over with. Just as the academic tassel represents going from student to alumni, so our spiritual tassel represents being saved to permanently saved. I realize we will not turn an actual tassel when we reach heaven, but the academic tassel represents the same thing as the Christian entering heaven. We don't get the reward without testing, effort, and endurance. God's not handing out honorary degrees. You have to work, and you have to make effort to make it in. Heaven will be a greater reward than any academic diploma or degree any institution here on earth can bestow on you. I know you've heard commencement speeches. This isn't the end. This is only the beginning. So it will be on God's great commencement day. It will only be the beginning of a brand new life, a life that will never end. The Inspiration sing a song, "It's not just about over, it's just about to begin." Now, you can't really see that well, but on my tassel up here, there's a number. It says 21, the year I graduated. We all graduate different years. Some names I thought of, the tassels that will be, of numbers that will be on their spiritual tassels. Brother Chapman, 22. Brother and Sister Talbot, 21. Brother Cummings, 19. Brother Wilson, 87. You and I don't know what our spiritual tassel number will be. So that is why we must always be ready. In God's school, we all take our final exam at different times, but we will all be there for that last great and final commencement day. But on that great commencement day, there will only be tears of joy. We'll be so glad we didn't give up, we didn't drop out, and it will surely be worth it all. Maybe you're here tonight, you're not enrolled. Or maybe you're here and you've dropped out. Or maybe you're ready to quit. Or maybe you failed a pop quiz or struggling with a test. If you're not enrolled, it's open enrollment. If you've dropped out, you're welcome back. If you feel like dropping out, don't. If you failed a test or quiz, keep trying. If you're in a test, keep going. The song says, "Ask my brother and sister, for all you need believe. Ask the bountiful giver, ask and you shall receive." The key is to ask for what we need, not what we want, and be willing to wait for it. I'm going to read again James 1:12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." That great song says, it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Our text, Matthew 24:13. "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." So tonight, never quit, never surrender, never drop out. Keep going, keep your eyes on the prize, and I know God will surely bless you for it as we stand. Dear God, we have done our best to deliver the thoughts we believe you have laid on our hearts. We pray that you'd give us the strength to finish our course. When we're in tests, help us to go through them. God, give us strength. We know we can't make it by ourselves. Give us what we need. Give us endurance. Help us to run this course. Thank you for all you've done and for what you've blessed us with. In Jesus' name, amen.